Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 20 April 2025, Romans.
Happy Victory Day. Today is Happy Victory Day, Resurrection Sunday, Victory Sunday. One of my deacons who is now in heaven, Rick Panko, used to always come in. And this day, first thing he came in, he would salute, "Happy Victory Day, sir." And I said, so every Easter Sunday, I think of Uncle Rick and Happy Victory Day. But then all my other deacons have picked up on that, and every single one of them came in and said the same thing, "Happy Victory Day." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God first of all this morning to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the victory that our Lord Jesus Christ won, first of all, on the cross, his victory over sin, and secondly, his victory over death and his resurrection from the grave. And as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning, we ask that God the Holy Spirit will take the truth of the Word of God and set it apart to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Two of the greatest miracles that the world will ever know took place on two very special days, Christmas and Easter. Christmas is the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. At that very first Christmas, a powerful and miraculous event took place, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God left heaven and glory and humbled himself and took on true humanity on that very first Christmas so that he could go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. Christmas is all about the first coming of the Messiah. Now that word Messiah comes from the Old Testament. The Hebrew word is Mashiach. Looks like that in the Hebrew. That's M Shiva S H I A C H. Mashiach is transliterated Messiah. But it means the anointed one. That's the Old Testament word, Messiah. The New Testament word is Christos. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. It is also transliterated Christ. And it also means the anointed one. Therefore, when you see in the New Testament and it says Jesus is the Christ, it is saying Jesus is the Messiah. It is saying that Jesus is the anointed one of God the Father. So the greatest miracle of all time, Christmas. Now, Easter is the greatest miraculous sign. Greatest miraculous sign. And that's a word we're going to look at it many times here this morning. Semeion. Looks like that in the Greek. S long E-M-E-I-O-N. Semeion. And Semeion means a miraculous sign. And Easter is the greatest miraculous sign, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest miraculous sign that proves to the whole world that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And it does this through His resurrection from the dead. Now I had you turn to Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 4. Romans 1 4. Romans 1 4. Who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. This is the most powerful Easter verse in the Word of God. Who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead through the Holy Spirit, that is, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Easter is a declaration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an announcement to the whole world that He is indeed the Messiah, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an announcement to the whole world that Jesus Christ won the strategic victory on the cross. He solved mankind's problem of sin by His salvation work on the cross. The resurrection was not an ethereal or spiritual event. Jesus rose from the grave physically and bodily. When the Lord Jesus began His ministry at His first coming, all that He thought and all that He taught and did was contrary to the teaching of the religious leaders of His day. And throughout His public ministry, the scribes and the Pharisees kept demanding that He give them a sign. And the word they used is semeion. They kept wanting Him to give them a miraculous sign. They wanted Jesus to do something miraculous, something supernatural, something tangible and visible, something that would prove once and for all that He is who He claimed to be. He claimed to be the Messiah, the anointed one of God the Father, the Son of God. In John 2, verse 18, it says, then the Jews demanded of him, of Christ, what semeion, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Then in John chapter 6, verse 30, so they asked him, what semeion, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Matthew 12:38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a semeion. We want to see a miraculous sign from you. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they tested him by asking him to show them a semeion, a miraculous sign from heaven. So, a couple of things then. First, before we get into some other passages. First of all, that Koine Greek word for sign is semeion. I have it on the board. And it means a miracle. It means that which is supernatural, that which is contrary to the usual course of nature. So it's a miracle. That which is supernatural and contrary to the usual course of nature. Two, semeion describes the miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ during his first advent. Describes all the miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ in his first advent. Three, these signs and miracles attested to the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed, he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the anointed one by the Father. All right, now I want you to turn over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, we'll start at verse 25. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man, and they're talking about Jesus, isn't this the man that they, the religious leaders, are trying to kill? Isn't this the guy they're trying to murder and kill? This is the religious leaders wanting to kill Christ. Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? Do they now believe he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from, and when the Christ, the Messiah, comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but the one who sent me is true. The one who sent him is God the Father. The one who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he, the Father, sent me. That was Operation Grace, the cross, the salvation plan that God the Father designed. And in that salvation plan, God the Father had God the Son leave heaven, take on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth, to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin, so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. So verse 30, after he said, but I know him, the Father, because I am from him, and he sent me from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. Well, at this, they, the religious leaders, tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd put their faith in him. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The basis of eternal salvation. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They believed that he would solve the world's problem of sin. So they put their faith in him. And they said, when the Christ comes, when the Messiah comes, will he do more miraculous signs, semeion, than this man? So these signs and miracles attested to the fact that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. Point four, the miracles drew attention to his teaching. And hearing his teaching, many believed in him for salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Turn over to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name. The word name means in his person. They were placing their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Beholding his signs. This is our word, semeion, miraculous signs that he was doing. So the miraculous signs that Jesus Christ was doing drew attention to his teaching, and hearing his teaching, many believed in him for eternal salvation. Five. Nicodemus, and he, we're going to see him a little later on. By the way, there's two parts. Part one is our first class. Part two, you don't want to miss part two. Part two, we'll see Nicodemus again. But here we see him. Nicodemus stated that no one can do these miraculous signs unless God is with him. That's John chapter 3. Turn over to John chapter 3. John 3 verses 1 and 2. Now there was a man of the Pharisees. So here is Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is one of these religious leaders. But here is one who believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. In fact, he is going to help prepare the body of Christ for burial. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him, to Christ, by night. Didn't want anybody to know that he was seeing this guy. Came to Christ by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these semeion, miraculous signs, No one can do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him. The Lord Jesus Christ performed many miraculous signs, demonstrating that he indeed is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he is the only Savior of mankind. Now I want you, let's document some of those miraculous signs that he did. First of all, the first of these miraculous signs was the turning of water into wine at a wedding celebration. Now, they've never had a wedding celebration like this one. Turn over to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. This was the very first of the semeons that Jesus Christ performed. John chapter 2. The wedding in Cana. Now, well, I don't know. This had to have been one big wedding celebration. There had to be a lot of people there because the Lord turned 120 to 180 gallons of water into wine. Now, for some of you, that might last for an hour or two, but 120 to 180 gallons of wine. Well, let's start with verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, so this is a wedding party, they drank all the wine. There was nothing left. The wine was gone. Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." The Lord says, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come," referring to the time to go to the cross. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each one of them holding from 20 to 30 gallons. So each one, now there's six of them, each one holds 20 to 30 gallons, six of them, that's 120 to 180 gallons. All right? This is a big party. Verse 7, Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." This would be like the sommelier. "Take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside. "Come here." And he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine, the very best wine first. And then the cheap wine, you know, $2 shucks, Gallo, Hardy, Burgundy, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best wine till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, semeons, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee, and he thus revealed his glory. And his disciples put their faith in him. They realized this is the Messiah, the Son of God. So that's the first semeion, miraculous sign. The second miraculous sign was the healing of the royal official's son. Just turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we'll start at verse 46. Once more, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. And then Jesus said, unless you people see miraculous signs, semeion, and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. He was on the verge of physical death. Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all of his household believed. They believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. This was the second semeion, the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Now, third, these miraculous signs, including many healings of the sick. Turn over to John chapter 6. Many healings of the sick. John chapter 6. John 6, verse 1. Start at verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs. Again, our word, semeion. They saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. He healed many people who were sick. These were all miraculous signs. That's third. Fourth miraculous sign is the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 was a miraculous sign. Now we start where we ended there in verse 2. Start at verse 3. John 6, verse 3. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, a great crowd is over 5,000. Over 5,000 people coming. That's the great crowd. And he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, when he asked Philip this, he knew what he was going to do. This was just to give Philip something to worry about. Where will we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test Philip. The question is, did he pass the test? To test him. For he already knew in his mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one of these people to have a little bite. I'd say he flunked the test. Philip didn't quite pass that one. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among 5,000? Not very far. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated. Now listen, as much as they wanted. They not only fed 5,000, they let them have seconds, thirds. If some of you had been there, fourths and fifths. Let them eat as much as they wanted. Just keep on till you're full. As much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Now gather the pieces that are left over." We don't want to waste anything, you know. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." So the feeding of the 5,000, there's the fourth category of Simeon. The fifth, and all 5 of these are absolutely awesome, but the fifth, the healing of the blind man. This was a man born blind. He was born blind, and Jesus healed him. And that was a Simeon. A miraculous sign. Turn over to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We'll start at verse 1. John 9, verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that caused him to be born blind?" And now here's Jesus' answer. "Neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God," who is that? Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in this young man's life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. But while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and then put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Now, I want you to go down to verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the land, the man who had been blind, born blind, blind from birth. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes, was a Sabbath. And therefore, the Pharisees, religious leaders, also asked him how he had received his sight. And the young lad answered him, "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God. This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner?" They were accusing Jesus of being a sinner, not only being a man, but being a sinner. "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" Simeon. So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened." And the man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. I laugh every time I read this. They asked his parents, "Is this your son?" They asked, "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" Now here's the great answer. Verse 20. "Well, yeah, we know that's our son, all right." It's really great when parents can identify their children. "That's our son, yeah. We know that's our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. We know that. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He's old enough to drive his own car. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah, would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He's of age, he's old enough, ask him." So a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God." Now they're putting pressure on him. "Give glory to God now," they said. "We know this man is a sinner. We know Jesus is a sinner." And the man that was born blind replied, "Well, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, once I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again?" And I love this. "Do you want to become his disciple?" "No." Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." He comes from the right hand of the Father in heaven. The man answered, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from. He opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And to this, they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth." That's why the religious leader said, "The reason why you're born blind is you were steeped in sin at birth." How dare you lecture to us, the religious leaders? And they threw him out. But Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you right now." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. He believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. So here are all of these fantastic, miraculous signs that Jesus Christ performed. And the religious leaders did not believe in him as the Messiah, the Son of God, the only Savior of the world. But there were those who did place their faith in Christ. Now, we're just getting you warmed up. I've got you all set up. We're going to take a break, give you a few minutes for some refreshments out here. There will be no Easter egg hunts. A few refreshments out here, then come back for part two, because the best is coming.